would open up to Matthew 5:13. I know, I think whoever was here for Gary's teaching kind of already went over this, but we're going to do it again because that's what I studied on. So we're going to do 13 through 30. Good. There. Anybody need a Bible? We got three? Okay. You're welcome. I'll just pass them down. Awesome. Thank you. So yes, Matthew 5:13. Brendan, you said you want to pray? Jacob, no. Okay. Let's get this started. We'll pray for the teaching. Heavenly Father, Lord, we always need you. We need you to guide us. We need you to comfort us. Lord, be there in the midst of us daily. Lord, just speak to us through this teaching. Lord, just heal anybody that is suffering or hurt, Lord. Be with them. Guide us and direct us into your glory and your path. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last time you guys went over Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, how to be. Be. Okay. That was the first part of Matthew. So we're going to look at salt and light, murder, and stuff like that. Even gouging your eyes out. Don't recommend it, but it may hurt. What do you guys think it would mean to be a salt and not today's version of salty? A seasoning of some kind, of course. Let's take a look. We'll read it in Matthew 5:13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Ouch. So for the salt, we're to remain salty and not, you know, the bad salt, not to be angry or bitter towards anybody, but to be the seasoning of the earth. And then if you look at Matthew 13 in the New King James Version, it says you are the salt of the earth, but if you are the salt flavor, how shall it should be seasoned? So if you could see the difference between the NIV, which was different, it said it's saltiness, and that one says it's seasoning. So we see that we are to be the salt of the earth. Salt back in the day was good. It was a precious value. Actually, Roman soldiers would actually be paid in salt sometimes. So it had a value. Unlike today, you could buy it at the store for only like 99 cents or whatever. It had a big value back then because it was used to keep things from spoiling and keep it fresh. Basically, what we're supposed to be is to keep the Word of God fresh, to keep it alive, to keep it from spoiling. And just like the salt had value and worth, we remain like that salt in the day, to be worth to the community, to keep that Word of God fresh and preserved. So if we go down to the next verse in 14, we read, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it in its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify in your Father in heaven. So we see that we are called to be the light of the world, not to be covered or put under a bushel. You guys may remember the old children's song, hide under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. We will let Satan, come on, somebody must know that, puff it out. Come on, you could have done that. We won't let Satan blow it out. We want to shine for our Lord and to be that example for others. You could take it as the city on the hill. The city is put on the hill so you could see it from a distance. Also, what else puts out light that's kind of on a hill? We look at lighthouses. Lighthouses are made to shine for ships to see. If there was no lighthouse, you would have ships crashing into rocks. They would be going off course. Lighthouses are there. They're made to shine on the shoreline or rocky area. And it's also made to navigate, to direct where the ships are to go. And basically, as the light, we are to do the same. We are to not necessarily point out people's faults, but we're to show them, okay, by an example, here's what I do. Okay? So you're looking at it and saying, you know, instead of doing this, maybe you should do this instead. You're not trying to be a sin sniffer of any kind, because we don't want to boast about ourselves, but you do want to glorify God, and you want to show others the way. And so we do see that in Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, that no one can boast. So we're not supposed to boast about our actions, about our deeds, but we are supposed to be an example. So. And in Ephesians 2:10, we see, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, the light is made to show people out of darkness and out of their evil ways. We're made to illuminate changes that need to be made to save people from their dark ways, from their rocky shores, just to guide them, to navigate them in the correct way. So, in the next part, we see that the way that Jesus comes out and shows how to be the way to illuminate, to be the seasoning. We see in 5:17-20, the law, and how the law is actually to be taken instead of how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Parasites, whatever, they were taking it. So let's look at 17. Do you think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets? I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will disappear by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, whoever sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices the teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, I mean, what Jesus is doing, he wants to show them what the law actually meant. By saying in 17 and 18 that Jesus, saying he did not come to destroy the law of the word of God, but he is saying he is to take away the false teachings of the word of God. Jesus kept the law and the word of God, even to the cross and beyond. In Matthew 24:35, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So Jesus does not want to get rid of the law. He just wants to show the correct way to interpret it. And he doesn't want to take away any of the T's or the dotting of the I's. He's not about making his own scripture, even though he could. He is Lord. He is God. I don't know if you guys have ever seen or heard in the Bible, mentioned that thus saith the Lord in the older scriptures. But when Jesus says something, it says, "And I say to you." He doesn't have to say, "Thus saith the Lord," because Jesus is Lord. He doesn't have to say, "Thus saith." In Luke 16:17, "It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than the least stroke of the pen and drop out of the law." In 19 and 20, says, "Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called the least of the kingdom in the heaven. But whoever practices these teachings, these commands, you will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom." We see in Romans 10:3, says, "Since they did not know the righteousness of God, they sought to establish their own, and they did not submit to God's righteousness." We want to definitely submit to what God wants us to what he's calling us to. It is one thing to live a life and trying to look godly, but missing the mark when all we have to do is hope in Jesus and have faith. He is our one true and living God. All we have to do is submit to his will. And he knows we are not perfect, and that why he sent his son to us, that we may believe in him. Which I always wondered why Tony brought up John 3:16 all the time, but it always directs back to John 3:16 for some reason. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." What an awesome verse that is, that we know that all we have to do is believe in Jesus and we'll have everlasting life. The Pharisees and the scribes tried to live by the law, so they didn't have to follow that they had to believe in Jesus. They tried to, even from what I was reading, even the tea and their meals, they would tithe their tea and their meals, all the way to that part of the law. We just have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to be so strict all the time. The Pharisees and scribes tried to live by the law, but they were kind of salty, and that means in today's saltiness. They seek to destroy Jesus in his ministry, but they all ended up doing what was fulfilled in God's word anyways, because it was spoken in ahead of time what would happen to Jesus. They should have just read their scripture and they would know that Jesus is the one true king. In Matthew 21 through 26, we see that it says, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,'" and "Raca," actually, it's a bad word back then. It meant like bonehead or idiot. So, I mean, bad words back then, yes. "Raca" was a bad word. Anyone who says brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court. And anyone who says "you fool" will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar first and go and be reconciled to them. And then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on your way. Or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." So we see, we know that Jesus said about murder. We know that murder is mentioned in the commandments. You could see in Exodus 20:13, it says, "You shall not murder," or "Thou shalt not murder." But we see also that now Jesus is saying that murder is not the same. He's just trying to get across that, I mean, we know that murder is bad, but also it's bad to, he's trying to just have significance to what anger is and trying to make it easier to understand. That hate without a cause and murder without a cause will both be subject to judgment. We are to love our neighbors and our brothers and sisters. We see in Matthew 22:37 through 39, Jesus replied, "Love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." He doesn't say hate your neighbor. We're supposed to love everyone. We may not love the sin they're in, but we love the person. And this goes back to being the light and the salt. We're to show them where they could improve, but without being boastful. There is no reason for name calling at all. Like we saw, and it said "Raca" was a bad word. So we tried to avoid calling somebody a brainless idiot. In Romans 12:18. We see, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone." And also in Ephesians 26 through 27, we see, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." I mean, that goes back to the last part of the verses we were reading, is to, if you have an issue with your brother or sister or neighbor, I mean, establish something, kindle your friendship, and then rectify yourself with God. So it goes on to read Matthew 27 through 30. Basically, Jesus is covering everything about the Beatitudes into these verses. You have heard that it was said to you not to commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one body part than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to go into hell. And I know it says that for men, but same for women. We have to know that what we put in is what we're going to get out. If you look at something in a way, I mean, it's not just about women looking at men and men looking at women. It's about you looking at something with desire or passion. If that's consuming you, whatever it is, if it's taking you away from God, stop. Turn the other way. I mean, God's not saying to, you know, chop off your arm and throw it out. I know on Facebook somebody's actually plucked out their eye for doing sin. Don't do that. But it's just saying stop. Stop it right there and move on. I mean, it could be anything. If you're reading something that's inappropriate or looking at something, your music you're listening to, if it's not the will of God, and if it doesn't help you in any way, you should live a godly example, a godly life. I mean, if you're going down the road and hearing these songs with cuss words in it, and you have your friends in the car and they know you're a Christian, and they're thinking, well, I could do this, but you're not leading an example to them. We see in Job 31:1, Job saying, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. So basically we are to, is that the NIV? No, that's different. Basically we are to remain pure for God and for our future spouse. We're to remain pure for our friends. I mean, remember in the first part of this, we are to be salt and light. We are to be that example. So, these verses mean you produce what you put in. Whether it is what or who you are looking at or doing, plants those thoughts of desires. We just got to be that example for ourselves and friends. We must pray and be in the Word at all times. Be that salt, be that lighthouse. We want to keep our friends off those rocks. So that is what I've got today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your Word, for your teaching. Lord, just help us to produce what you have and just grow in abundance. Lord, may we bring people to your kingdom. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.